WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, May Deuce, 2017. We've got a great show, as we always do, right? It's always a fun time here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Quite a great hour of sports talk in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about a very touchy topic coming out of the world of the MLB. Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles was berated by racist comments yesterday. Very unsettling, very unnerving, and there are a lot of idiotic fans out there, and it blows my mind that they would even stoop that low, right? I get it in sports. You got your team. You don't like the other team. But there's just some things you just don't do. Some things you just don't say. So we'll elaborate on that. We'll bring that news to you. Also, Mark D'Antonio made public comments addressing the state of his Michigan State football program. And I must say, this is the most honest that Coach D'Antonio has been when discussing everything that has gone wrong away from the field when it comes to his program. Coming off a 3-9 season. You do not want to miss what Coach D'Antonio had to say. We will also, it'll be a bit of a throwback show to start in just a moment, because we will invite live here in Studio S a man who hasn't been on Current Sports in quite some time. He's actually the man who taught our current engineer, Alex, Isaac Constance, everything he knows. His name is Alex Shark. Those who have been with us here on this Current Sports ride from the very start of it know that name, because Alex was my right-hand man. I mean, Alex would come out on shoots with me. He would shoot events. We covered the Rose Bowl together. We've covered the Big Ten Championship together. We've gone to the, you know, and we've gone to the lengths of covering the NCAA tournament with Tom Izzo's MSU men's basketball team together. Oh, quite a ride. He's gone on to bigger and better things since he has chucked up the deuces here at WKAR. And he just so happens to be in town here in East Lansing. That's right, Alex Sharg will join us live in studio to talk about his journey and why in the world he is in town in the first place. You don't want to miss that. And we will invite also another dear friend of our airwaves, that being Arthur Ray, former MSU football player and now co-author of, quote, Guide to Rare, How to Ignite the Power Already Within You. That's right. It's a very cool book that he's co-authored, folks. And I'm pretty sure in that book he'll also address his battle and him overcoming the cancer fight. So very cool stuff. Arthur Way will join us via phone. You don't want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, we'll talk briefly about the Detroit Lions, and we will address the NBA playoffs. That and more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves, or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team, spoke to the public yesterday. D'Antonio spoke before the West Michigan Sports Commission and did not talk to the media after addressing the crowd. Kind of predicted with that one, right? However, this might have been the most honest Coach D has been when speaking and addressing the off-the-field drama that has taken place this season.
People want to point to the one thing that is going wrong, and they want to lump everybody together. That's not the case. You don't have the success that we've had in the past without good people. You don't get there without solving problems. Ultimately, it won't be how many games we win at Michigan State. It'll be how we define, we'll define ourselves on how we handle the problems in our life. My job right now is really to keep the birds in the nest. Just like this room here, I got my birds in a nest. There's no question that at this point in time, our situation impedes progress. But I can tell you this, just like the Spartans stood in Thermopylae, shoulder to shoulder, that's what we will do.
Thermopylae. Thermopylae. Isaac, you're a big Webster's guy. What in the world is Thermopylae?
I'm guessing it's a city. I'm guessing he's referring to the 300 movie, if I had to guess, something related to Sparta, some sort of province in there.
You're really close. I'll say that.
Okay.
You're very, very close. I had to Google that one last night. I'll address Thermopylae later on in the show.
Stay tuned.
You'll find out. Don't Google it. I'll tell you what Thermopylae is later on, all right? That's a tease for you if I haven't heard one before. All right, and it was Coach D's first public appearance since April 1st. We'll have more on D'Antonio's comments again in a moment. All right, the University of Michigan Summer Satellite Football Camp is emerging after revealing last week about two satellite camps at UCLA and Valdosta, Georgia State. U of M will share a camp with Tennessee State on June 9th in Nashville. Now, a new NCAA rule officially certified by the NCAA Board of Directors last week restricts schools to only 10 camps this summer, contained in June and July. I call that the Jim Harbaugh rule. All right, moving on. West Michigan Whitecaps first baseman Blaze Salter, who, of course, was a former Michigan State stud on the diamond, he was named the Midwest League Player of the Week on Monday. Now, Salter was honored after a week in which he batted .407, 11 for 27, with three doubles, two homers, eight RBIs, and 10 runs scored for the Eastern Division-leading Whitecaps. His offensive success helped West Michigan win six of its seven games last week. The 23-year-old Salter was drafted by the Detroit Tigers in the 31st round of the 2015 MLB draft. Congratulations to Blaze. Fun player. Keeping on with baseball, the Detroit Tigers continued their efforts to reverse their fortunes, I should say, against the Cleveland Indians from last year. Daniel Norris outpitched Trevor Bauer for the third time in as many meetings since September, helped by a Tyler Collins three-run homer as the D cruised to a 7-1 win Monday night at Comerica Park. It was the third Tigers win in four meetings between the Midwestern neighbors and American League Central competitors. The Indians took 14 of 18 meetings last season, completely owned the Tigers on their way to the division title and eventual AL pennant. And get this, Victor Martinez, I found this moment to probably be the coolest out of every moment that took place last night between the Indians and the Tigers. Victor Martinez had a bunt. I kid you not. It was the very first bunt of his career. Yeah, a first. I couldn't believe that. And I saw the highlights, and it was cool because when it happened, all the Detroit Tigers fans in the stands, it was like this ooh and ah. Everybody's fist bumping and slapping high fives just like they had a bunt, right? First bunt in V-Mart's career in his 1,757th game. Pretty cool stuff, right? And good news here, Miguel Cabrera is expected to return from the DL as the series continues tonight. Justin Verlander gets a rematch with the Indians 17 days after Cleveland scored a career-high 9 runs off of him in 4-plus innings, prompting Verlander to suspect either the Indians were stealing signs or he was tripping pitches. 7-10 first pitch tonight from Comerica Park. That should be a fun game as well. Baltimore Orioles outfielder Adam Jones was the target of racism from the Fenway Park crowd during his team's 5-2 dub over the Boston Red Sox on Monday. Get this. This one comes from Jones per Bob Nightingale of USA Today. Quote, "A disrespectful fan threw a bag of peanuts at me. I was called the N-word a handful of times tonight. Thanks. Pretty awesome." End quote. According to Nightingale, Jones said this wasn't the first time he was on the receiving end of racism in Fenway Park. Jones didn't tally a hit in four at-bats on Monday, but he did score a run in the victory. Detroit Lions general manager Bob Quinn finally answered the Eric Ebron question. The team announced today. It will pick up the fifth-year option on the up-and-down tight end. Now, the option is guaranteed for injury only. While many Lions fans have been frustrated with Ebron's inconsistent play and propensity for drops over the last 3 years, and some are likely annoyed that Quinn would be willing to pay him roughly $8.25 million in 2018, it was an easy move like most fifth-year options are. Last night in the NBA playoffs, the Cleveland Cavaliers and Houston Rockets took a one-game series lead in the opening games of both of those respective series. When it comes to the Cavs and the Rockets, the Cavs handling the Toronto Raptors 116-105, while the Rockets defeated the San Antonio Spurs 126-99.
Shot clock at 6. Harden over Aldridge, 3. Book it.
We've got one team that is 12 of 25 from downtown.
How about that? It was actually an NBA record. The most three-point attempts in one NBA playoff game. Guess how many three-pointers the Houston Rockets took last night, Isaac?
I wasn't even watching. Podcast, 65.
Oh, 15 over. 50. That's still a lot.
Wow.
50 three-point attempts, dude. Insane. And they shot over 40% from the three-point line. We'll elaborate on that later on today's show. You don't want to miss that. And tonight, you can catch the Washington Wizards take on the Boston Celtics, and the Utah Jazz play the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr still not on the sidelines for the Warriors, and I doubt that we will see him the rest of this year's playoffs. One game in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs last night as the Pittsburgh Penguins fell to the Washington Capitals in overtime, 3-2. Sidney Crosby actually had to leave the game. He took a cross-check, it looked like, and had to be, escorted off the ice. A cross-check actually by a former teammate, so that's a bit scary. Pittsburgh leads that series 2-1. Tonight you can catch Ottawa versus New York and St. Louis play Nashville. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We've got a great hour in store for you all. In just a moment, we will invite live here in our studio the original current sports engineer, Alex Sharg of visionmedia.com. And later on, as the hour proceeds, author Ray, former MSU football player and now co-author of Guide to Rare, How to Ignite the Power Already Within You. Author will talk about that piece of work and so much more. 517-355-WKAR. Let's start the show.
Baltimore Orioles star says racist taunts by Red Sox fans last night were the worst he'd ever faced in Boston. Outfielder Adam Jones says that he was called the N-word and that someone threw a bag of peanuts at him. The Red Sox say about 30 fans were ejected from Fenway. Tension between the teams has been high since several incidents between players this season. The Orioles won 5-2.
And that is how we start this Tuesday afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. So honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon. I really hope you're having a great start to your work week. A bit chilly outside. Had to break out the old fall jacket, about 40-something degrees here in East Lansing, Michigan. Cloudy, overcast, but nonetheless, alive and well and breathing. Crack a smile for that one, right? We plan on bringing some sunshine to your Tuesday afternoon by hitting you with a great hour of sports talk. And we begin, unfortunately, though, with this news. You just heard that CBS report, and we highlighted it briefly just a minute ago via our current sports quick hit headliners, and that concerns Adam Jones. Adam Jones of the Baltimore Orioles. He's a center fielder who said he was subjected to a barrage of N-words and other racist taunts at Fenway Park during last night's Baltimore game against the Boston Red Sox. Again, going back to the Bob Nightingale report from USA Today, Jones said, quote, "A disrespectful fan threw a bag of peanuts at me. I was called the N-word a handful of times tonight. Thanks. Pretty awesome," of course, saying that very sarcastically, right? You know, it's an interesting dynamic overall when you discuss the subject of race in Major League Baseball, seeing as though there are just 62 African-American players, according to opening day rosters of the league's 30 teams this year, and Jones is one of those just 62 black players targeted for taunts as the game continued. And, you know, what amazes me, though, was not even just the fact that a fan would stoop this low, that a fan's hate for someone is that strong where you don't check your humanity at the door, right? And you just go out and decide to pop off like this in the stands. But what also amazes me is that, you know, Jones said this isn't the first time that this has happened at Fenway Park. And when going through and reading different things on social media, when just typing in Adam Jones in the Twitter search bar and seeing what people had to say about it, I found that a lot of Boston residents who are sports fans and sports fans of the Boston Red Sox, you know, they wanted it to be known left and right that this is not indicative of what our city is all about. These are just two, well, I don't know, it doesn't name how many people were involved in this situation, but these are just a handful of idiotic fans that don't represent the city well at all. And there were a lot of Boston fans saying, oh, this is not what we're about. This is not what we do. This is not who we are. And I can only imagine. I had another thought that, man, I mean, are we still living in the days of Jackie Robinson, right? You know, when you hear about a player, a black player, and Adam Jones, who plays in Major League Baseball, hearing N-words from the crowd. I mean, that's what Jackie Robinson had to go through on the daily, right? It's 2017. This isn't the 60s, is it? Just couldn't believe it, man. So I just started to reminisce on, you know, experiences that I've had covering sports, experiences that I've had sitting in, you know, as a young tyke, watching games, being a part of that fandom, right? Now, don't get it twisted, because I want to say this as well. It is okay to boo at a game. It is okay to give a player some jazz if that player is not a part of your team. If that player is the quote-unquote enemy, right? If that player is the opposition. It's okay to do that. There's nothing wrong. I have no problem with a fan going out and booing a player, a team, a coach. That's the essence of sports, right? That's just the essence of sports. That's how it is. These are professional athletes that get paid millions upon millions of dollars, right? Now, I have a different take when it comes to maybe the collegiate game, because at the end of the day, I mean, those are kids, right? Those are kids. They're not getting paid. In many ways, the NCAA is exploiting them. So I have a different take when discussing that side of things, but you know, you won't find me, you know, at a college game booing kids, because that's what essentially they are. But for professional athletes, I get it. You know, that's they're not a part of your your team. So I get it. But there's a fine line as to what you say amidst those boos. You don't get personal with them. You don't call them out of their name. And you don't, by any means necessary, play the race card. I mean, that's just racist. I mean, this should be what I'm saying right here is obvious, right? You would think that it's obvious for someone who's attending a game who may not like a certain player or a certain team. You would think it's obvious for that fan not to go there, right? But folks, I tell you what, every time I sit on my couch and turn on the news locally and nationally, I feel like I see at least one story that completely blows my mind, that gives you a glimpse into just how lost we are as a society. Further reading this story, Red Sox President Sam Kennedy issued an apology to Jones this morning and said that the team is looking into the incidents. Quote, the Red Sox want to publicly apologize to Adam Jones and the entire Orioles organization for what occurred at Fenway Park Monday night. No player should have an object thrown at him on the playing field nor be subjected to any kind of racism at Fenway Park, end quote. I want to stop right there before reading the another graph from that statement. The audacity of this fan to hurl an object at an athlete as well. does that not blow your mind? And when I heard that the fan decided to go that far, I couldn't help but think about the malice at the palace and how crazy that was, right? Well, just watching footage of that still today is just, it's jaw on the ground, eyes wide open. I can't believe this is happening right now. You know, and there's that famous image of Ron Artest sitting on the scorer's table and then a beverage of some sort, looked like a Diet Coke or something, was hurled at Ron Artest. Then he goes in the stands and it looks like, you know, a WWE match, right? Chairs being thrown left and right. I mean, I just ridiculous. And whoever this fan is, I really believe that this fan's face needs to be put out publicly somewhere. If you decide to go to a public forum like this and act like an idiot, yeah, you need your name and face out there for the public to chastise you, dude. Couldn't believe it, though. I could not believe that this happened at Fenway Park. Sam Kennedy went on to say in a statement, quote, the Red Sox have zero tolerance for such inexcusable behavior, and our entire organization and our fans are sickened by the conduct of an ignorant few. Such conduct should be reported immediately to Red Sox security, and any spectator behaving in this manner forfeits his or her right to remain in the ballpark and may be subject to further action. Our review of last night's events is ongoing, end quote. Just some fans out there, I want to start the show with this subject because some fans out there just forget that we are talking about sports here, folks. Sports is all about embracing competition, but also keeping your emotions in check to a certain degree. It's okay to get heated during a game, right? We've all been there, done that. Heck, at my home, you do not want to see me watching a Detroit Pistons basketball game when things start going left, all right? But at the same time, there are certain things and certain lines you just do not cross. I've seen it even at the high school level, where I'm at a high school basketball game, and certain parents just do not know how to control themselves in the stands. Cursing out the coach, arguing about, oh, my son or daughter needs more playing time, getting lippy with the refs. Relax, folks. It's not that serious. Even with me sitting on my soapbox right now saying this and preaching this, I mean, it's probably going to go on today at some little league baseball game later on this afternoon, maybe here in Michigan, who knows what state, but it's still going to go on. But it just blows my mind. I'm not a father, so my experience is limited and my emotions are limited when it comes to that, but still, come on, that's common sense. Just sports fans, relax, chill. Giving you the Aaron Rodgers message on today's Current Sports, relax. All right, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We've got a great show. I'm excited about it. because we've got two guests. It's a loaded show today. We've got two guests on the show that are really going to rock it out. And our first guest, which we're going to invite live to Studio S right now, is certainly a dear friend of the show. He was a part of making Current Sports what it is today, setting the foundation. He actually trained our current engineer, Isaac Constance, who's done a great job with us for what now? What, 3 years, Isaac? Has it been that long?
Pretty near it.
I can't believe that. I can't believe it's already been 3 years since you've been here, and I can't believe this dude hasn't been here in that long. But he joins us right now live here in Studio S. His name, of course, you know it. You're probably finishing my sentence as I say this right now. Alex Sharg, now of Vision Media. He has had quite the ride since he has graduated Michigan State University. He's actually the founding father as well of Impact Sports, which is still up and active here on the campus of Michigan State University, giving students here that want to go into sports reporting and sports broadcasting an avenue, an outlet to really garner that kind of experience. Alex, my man, how are you doing, my friend? Good to see your face.
It's great to be back, Al. It's great to be back. And you know what? The real reason I'm here is, I don't know if Susie told you, I'm the new host of the show.
Oh, I'm getting fired. I knew this day would come.
I was waiting for it.
I'm sure everybody was. Right? Like, oh, what is this dude getting off the air? Bring Alex back and make the show. No, I'm joking. Yeah. Good to see you, though, Alex.
Good to see you, man.
Well, first of all, go ahead.
The introduction was so nice. I was listening on the way here, talking me up. But, you know, you said he's up to bigger and better things now.
Bigger and better things.
I said, you know, what's better than Al Martin's show? Like, I love working here, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Now you're just gassing me, dude. But you know what? When I announced that you were going to come on the show, I started getting comments from those who work here at WKAR and a few people text me, actually. And we're all wondering, you know, I know what you've been up to, but a lot of folks out there, especially our listeners, do not know what you've been up to since you crossed that stage at the Breslin Center, got your degree, and again, went on to bigger and better things. What has this journey been like for you, and where has it taken you, Alex?
Oh, man. Well, as soon as I graduated and crossed the stage, I had a part-time video production freelance gig with Fox Sports Detroit lined up. So I did that for about 7 to 8 months, and it wasn't really the right opportunity, and it was more of a part-time thing to start. And I had an opportunity to open up to do some work specifically for the Rock Ventures team in Detroit, which is MSU alum Dan Gilbert's company, which holds like Quicken Loans. It's more like the holdings company for all his different startups. And the Cleveland Cavaliers is under that arm.
And before you did that, Alex, I mean, you were at FSD for a minute, right? Fox Sports Detroit.
Yeah, like 7 to 8 months.
Right.
Yeah. And then when I started doing some work there, I was specifically signed later on to do special projects for the Cleveland Cavaliers, which ironically was the year that they went on to win that championship.
Exactly.
So I came at the perfect time, and I did all kinds of different projects. I would do stuff with the team. I would do stuff, personal stuff, kind of like with the ownership. I traveled all over. I went to Toronto, San Francisco for when they were in the finals. And I traveled with the team a lot.
That's really, so were you like on the same plane as like LeBron James?
At times I flew. Mostly I flew with more like the ownership.
Okay.
But I never flew. The only time I was with the team traveling was when we were in the city.
Okay.
So if we were going from the hotel to the game, we would take like one big bus.
So you were still with the team, but maybe not the players and the coaches.
Right.
Okay.
And I came on later on, so my small team, like I was doing more media, specific media projects, and there was a team dedicated to that under Rock Ventures.
Right.
And when I was there, since I came on late, the team was already doing Cavalier stuff the whole time. So they started interchanging a couple people. I started to get mixed in. And then towards the end of the year, since the Cavs, this was supposed to be their big run, this was it, they put kind of a full force. There was like two to three of us at every game. So that's kind of how I fell into it. And it was a great opportunity. I continued on for when they won. I was in Cleveland. I was there for the victory parade.
I
had like my own float, which was awesome.
You had your own float. Hold on. How did you get your own float? It just said Alex Sharg, Alex Sharg.
Essentially, the project was we were basically doing an all-access, kind of like a Hard Knocks of like the kind of like what went on behind the scenes during the run from the, you know,
like the start of the season all the way on?
Yeah, the start of the season. Well, so it actually started about 2 years before I got there. So this was like a continuation.
Oh, wow.
So there were already a couple other like Rock Ventures people that were covering the team doing what I was started to do 2 years ago. So this was like ongoing. And the idea was until they won, that would be the end of the documentary project.
Right.
So it's more specifically for like what the team, like what Dan and his crew want. You know, they want like a personal, you know, they want to see it themselves, like the run of how they are. And there's also talks of it becoming into this bigger documentary, like an all access, but for like NBA ownership, essentially.
So when it comes to that experience, I know our listeners out there are dying to want to know, how close were you when it comes to those behind the scenes moments? I mean, were you in the locker room? Did you were you up, or did you just deal with the editing process? I mean,
everything. So I would be doing like the editing after games, sending stuff to like the ownership. They want to see some of like plays and highlights and stuff.
Because you were like on the sidelines of some of those games in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, I was right there. I would put together little packages, and we would do special projects for the actual Cavs too. So like they would rely on our team to do like the hype videos that you see up playing on the Jumbotron at the arena. So we would do some of those.
Right.
So it was a variety of different projects that sometimes the Cleveland Cavaliers video team didn't have the capacity to take outside their scope of work.
What's the coolest thing you saw behind the scenes when it came to that, again, NBA championship Cleveland Cavaliers team?
Limited to what I can say. I can't really say some of the coolest things.
Right,
but, oh, man, that's a tough question. I would probably say just being there in the moment when they won and, like, being with the team and seeing, like, kind of like when we were there for the Rose Bowl.
Right.
Like seeing, being in that moment in the locker room when they won, seeing, you know, all the MSU greats, Le'Veon Bell and...
One of my favorite moments as a journalist to this day is covering that Rose Bowl and being in Los Angeles. I mean, we had a great time out there.
We
were out there for a week.
Reminiscing. You know.
It was fantastic, wasn't it?
All smiles.
Anything with LeBron James? Do you have a LeBron James story at all?
You know what? There's one, actually, where a lot of times, you know, we're there with the, you know, filming and doing some things. And a lot of times the players like their privacy. So there was a time where he didn't want me filming and he let me know about it. Let's just say that.
Did he? You know what? This gives me a flashback. You know where I'm going with this.
Oh,
because
yeah, that's right.
There was I guess Alex doesn't know when it hit the pause button, I guess, on the camera. Isaac, I think I've told you this story, right? There was a moment where Alex and I, we're covering Michigan State practice, football practice. And we're there, and there's all these restrictions when covering MSU football practice. You only have, as you know, Isaac, you've been there before. You only got a certain amount of time to shoot the offense. During this period, the second period, you can't shoot the offense. You can shoot the defense. There's all these restrictions. So there was a period where you're only supposed to shoot the defense. Alex decided to keep the camera rolling on the offense. And guess who saw Alex Shark filming the offense? Head coach of the football team, Mark D'Antonio. Mark, you can hear him. Oh, I don't know if we still have this footage, but you can hear Mark look at Isaac and say, "No cameras over here." Alex doesn't say anything. I guess you didn't hear him at that time.
Didn't hear.
And then all of a sudden, Mark says, "No cameras!" Like he yells it.
Oh, yeah.
"No cameras over here!" We all look back, and it's Alex shooting.
And then you have former athletic communications director John Lewandowski, you know, chewing me out a new one. And
right, but that's funny looking back now.
Oh,
hilarious. So yeah. So LBJ told you politely to yell at you.
That was a little different when I got chewed out by LeBron because it was a different dynamic because we were allowed so much. There wasn't really a rule of like when to film or not to film.
Of course, right.
Because we had full. It's not like. Well,
so you're like LeBron. They're not telling me not to shoot you right now, but okay.
I can only say so much, but, you know, there's some times where the point of the document, you know, of us filming was to show the moments, all the struggles, the triumph, you know.
Right.
And when there's a bad loss or maybe, you know, he's doing something or he's talking to a player, you know, stuff like that.
So was it after a loss when you were shooting?
When it was, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. That's really – I know you got stories for days, dude. And, again,
but
you're
still,
limited.
But still, that one was pretty good.
That
the
one
Michigan
is
–
Yeah, the Michigan State one is pretty good. But, again, you know, it's still LeBron James, though, man. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, in person, I mean, he's cute. I mean, he's a big man. I mean, he's
– Let's hit a first break. Sure. When we come back, I want you to talk about what you're doing right now with visionmedia.com because I find that very intriguing and very important as well.
Absolutely.
And then we'll get to our second guest for today's show, author Ray, former MSU football player, now co-author of Guide to Rare, How to Ignite the Power Already Within You. That and more, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, right here on AM 870, 94.5 FM. In segment A, we started a chat before we hit that first break with Alex Sharg. You know that name. He is the original Current Sports engineer. He is now with VisionMedia.com. And before we quickly wrap up this this chat, Alex, and get to our second guest for today's Current Sports, I want you to talk about what exactly is VisionMedia.com, how did it start, and also I want to get your take on the MSU football team, seeing as though you've covered this team during the glory years with me.
Oh, yeah.
And my, oh, my, how quickly things change, right?
Indeed.
First off with Vision Media, though. Tell us a little bit about that.
After I was doing some work for the Cleveland Cavaliers, my team that I was on, we were quickly growing. And it kind of launched its own separate company doing, like, video media productions. Mm-hmm. So doing these special projects for the Cavaliers, all these startups, they're spanning off into their own business and are doing video productions for different industries and other companies in Detroit and around the country and trying to be a little bit bigger. So at the time, I was actually already doing a lot of the stuff on the side with a guy that I met here at Michigan State.
Right.
So we were doing some things part-time over the last 2 years together while I was still working for the Cavaliers and for at Fox Sports Detroit.
And that relationship goes back to Impact Sports as well, right?
Goes back to Impact Sports, right. Yeah. He was our video director there. And I started, as I was working for the Cavs, I was growing a lot with video. And I, you know, from when I was here, you got my feet wet, Al. You got me started. Forever thankful to you with that. I, you know, from there, I've, you know, grown a lot and learned a lot of new skills within video specifically now. And we had the opportunity, Scott, the former Impact Sports video guy here, and
right.
who I've been doing some part-time work with over the last few years, to kind of go on our own full-time. So I had to choose, do I stay with this growing which is a great company, or do I want to try and do it on my own? And I ultimately chose to kind of try to do it on my own with Scott, and still have a great relationship with everyone at Rock Ventures and the team. It's called Woodward Original. It's like a video production company team.
Right.
Still have a great relationship with everyone there. They actually give us some work from time to time, but, you know, they understood that I was, you know, I've always been a go-getter myself, and I always want to try to start something new, so something I wanted to do. So essentially what Vision Media is we create video, engaging video for businesses and organizations to use for marketing purposes.
Nice.
So we help with the full production of the videos and then help with also the marketing. So the analytics and the data and helping it drive sales or fundraising or whatever it might be. So I'm actually here today because, one, I have a good friend who is giving his PhD dissertation today.
Wow.
You know, Dan Cryer.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, Dan is finally – oh, that's great stuff.
Right,
I've seen the struggle with Dan for many years, so this is cool.
And secondly, so we do some work with Michigan State. We
right.
do the fundraising videos for the university. So
okay.
here to do talk with them a little bit more. We have some more projects coming up, so that's what brought me here. And, of course, I have to see you. So
very cool
stuff. The guy who got me started.
I'm telling you, man, it's certainly a throwback show today, my friend. Before we sign off, Alex, how can people, if someone's intrigued by Vision Media and says, hey, oh, I may need that help and maybe starting my marketing campaign for my respective business, how can they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. They can log on. They can go to visionsmedia.com. That's V-I-S-I-O-N-E-D media.com. And you can send us an email, hello@visionmedia.com.
Great stuff. Brief thoughts on the Michigan State football team. Two separate sexual assault investigations taking place. John Reschke making certain comments and being, you know, I guess you could say he removed himself from the situation, I guess you can say. There's been a lot going on with this squad. Mark D'Antonio trying to keep the boat afloat. Just brief thoughts. I mean, what's your take from a outside standpoint with you being now removed from the university? I mean, what's been going through your head when watching this?
Yeah, there's a conception that I've found from listening to Detroit media, not Lansing, more local Detroit
of
media
course,
where
right,
I'm living,
right.
that there is a Michigan State bias from the media members of the community up here. So essentially saying that those covering sports in Lansing, reporters and journalists, are not looking at Michigan State University sports from an outside lens because they're either entwined to the university or they're here locally. That's kind of the gist I get from what I hear.
Do you agree with that?
And what I think about that is it's easy to say that until you're here in this very situation. So I think there's some debate whether, oh, I'm sure there are media members who know what actually happened and they're keeping a hush-hush and whatnot. But at the same time, the Reschke situation with what he said and the dispute, I mean, that comes down to only so much control you can have. I mean, if you're a head coach, sometimes, I mean, you could hold some standards for yourself and what you expect from your team members. But at the end of the day, things happen and things come up. Not to say that it could not have been prevented. I think they try to prevent it. And obviously, maybe him leaving was the right way to prevent it. It kind of you miss out on a good player, but at least he's gone. But some of these other situations, specifically the sexual assault, since there are multiple cases of it and one suspension, including a staff member on the team, I think when there's a staff member involved and the multiple offenses, it gets a little bit complicated. So I think it's a horrible situation for the team. I think that the only solution is to take some kind of action, whether it's a removal of, if it comes down to a staff member being involved, that staff member should be removed. Mm. I think there has to be accountability at the end of the day. Someone has to take responsibility and action, whether it's the head coach or, I mean, not necessarily stepping down. I mean, there just has to be some accountability.
Right.
And what I worry is you hear people say, oh, well, you know, Michigan State's done and, you know, look at the program's in shambles. They had one bad year. So, and a lot of the complaints is, well, Michigan State media members and fans are not looking at it from that perspective. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is the first losing season they've had. They look at the statistics from the last 5 years. I would still say it's considered probably glory years. They're still pulling in, record attendance and seats. There's a conception also that, you know, people are sick of the product and they're boycotting their season tickets. And This year's going to be completely different because of what happened.
I've heard a certain host in Detroit make that argument.
Oh, And that's exactly what I'm alluding to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not buying it. I think that from what the program has been through from the Williams era and the John L. Smith era, I don't think there's going to be, you know, and maybe, sure, maybe I am biased because I went here and, you know, I'm here right now. But look at any team, the University, right. University of Michigan football, when Lloyd Carr left,
right,
when Rich Rod was there, I mean, they still had record attendance.
You're going to have these years, right? I mean, yeah. And again, out of D'Antonio's 11 seasons, this is clearly the worst year. But again, I won't be one of those just quick to rule out this team. And I think with a lot of fans and those who have that perception that you just alluded to, Alex, is a lot of fans don't realize the legality of the situation. We, media members and journalists here in the area, can't release names because legally we can't. I mean, with the first sexual assault investigation, the prosecutor decided to officially charge someone. So when someone's charged, yes, that name can come out. With this second sexual assault investigation, three unnamed football players and one unnamed staff member, we do know Curtis Blackwell, is suspended with pay. We can't give you those names, even if we have an idea of who those names are, because legally, those three players have not been charged by the prosecution. So it's interesting. You know, a lot of fans just like to throw wood on the flames without really looking at, okay, why is this fire started and why hasn't it gone to that level just yet?
So, interesting. So you don't want to report on it until there's an actual charge.
Preach on. Alex Shark, thank you so much for joining me, dude. Great chat with you wishing you all the success in the world. I'm going to hit you up later on this afternoon, dude. And congratulations to Dan as well. That's pretty cool. All right, we'll hit our second break, come back. We'll get to our second guest for today's Current Sports, Arthur Ray, former MSU football player and now co-author of Guide to Rare, How to Ignite the Power Already Within You. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have about 15 minutes left here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. We just finished up a chat with Current Sports original engineer Alex Sharg of Vision Media. Now let's get to our second guest for the hour. His name is Arthur Ray Jr. And I tell you what, he's one of my favorite athletes to cover when he was here as a MSU football player. He is a cancer survivor, and he is now the co-author of a very cool self-help book entitled Guide to Rare, How to Ignite the Power Already Within You. He joins us via phone right now. Arthur Ray, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, Arthur?
Man, I'm doing good. What's going on with you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always good hearing your voice, dude, and just another day, another dollar over here, brother. But I want to talk about you, my friend, the inspiration to write a book. Arthur, I got to know, how long has this process taken for you, and when did the idea first enter that mind of yours?
Well, you know, it's been a process, I think, with everything. I think it started about a year ago. You know, me and my co-author, my partner, my brother, Jordan Benton, you know, we sat down and, you know, once I went out to Colorado, we really started to read a lot. You know, I had always been an avid reader, but, you know, I really started to dive in on different books and just learning different things, you know, just as far as meditation and, you know, positive thinking and different things like that. So, you know, we were on a change in the way we thought about walking through life and just how we looked at life in general. So we started writing last year. You know, we got it done, made a couple rough drafts and everything. And then the publishing process, that was another process, you know, just going through it. You know, us being first-time authors and not really knowing how the process worked. You know, a lot of things just started to fall in place. We just went with our heart and with our spirit. You know, we put that same spirit in the book. You know, the book turned out great. You know, I'm excited for people to read it and hear the feedback, and, you know, it's real good right now.
I'm curious, Arthur. Again, you co-authored this book with Jordan mm-hmm. Benton. I believe Jordan played at Fort Lewis College, the game of football, right?
Yes, but, yeah, me and Jordan met at Michigan State. Jordan walked on at Michigan State.
Right.
From all the way from Cali. I remember when we met first time, he got off the plane and everything, and I knew he had family in Michigan, so, you know, he wasn't too unfamiliar with it, but, you know, it was good. We hit it off right away as soon as we met each other, and we've been friends forever.
How many drafts did you guys go through before you found that finished product and said, okay, it's time to put this thing out?
You know what, content-wise, it just took us one, because we just, man, once we get focused and can focus our mindset on one goal and everything, we just went in. We were in the zone with it. I think it took us a couple times just going through edits, of course, and everything. But we just, once we designate a time to write and we link up via Google Docs and on FaceTime and everything, and we bounce ideas off each other and everything and just continue to write together.
Love it. Again, I'm on the description right now via Amazon.com. And I want to just read a brief snippet of the description, Arthur. Bear with me here. Learn a little snippet of the journey of two kings, Arthur Ray and Jordan Benton. They've both dealt with many things in their young lives, but they have figured out different ways to constantly overcome adversity. Society nowadays is filled with so much fluff. It is easy to blame any and everything on your success and failures. The one door no one else can open, the battle no one else can fight, is within. I'm going to stop there, Arthur. There's a lot of self-help books out there. I read a lot of them myself to inspire myself and my respective craft and my overall life. What makes Guide to Rare different from those?
Well, I agree. I think it's a lot of great self-help books out there. I think what makes us different is it's real. It's from the heart. It's raw. It's rugged. You know, it's pure content that, you know, that we literally sat there and we went through everything and we decided, yes, this is how we want to approach it. We wanted to create something that was 100% authentic, that was 100% us, and that we definitely walk by and live by. So, you know, I think the thing is, especially the people who are close to us, and even the people who aren't, that get a chance to read the book, we're inviting them inside our minds. I think now, a lot of times, a lot of people ask me, especially when I was going through the cancer fight and everything, mentally, where were you? And it's funny, they ask me that question. I don't really think they want to know the answer. But it's because it's just the place, the space was so dark, and just going through everything. Mm-hmm. We sort of, in the book, I invite people into that space, into my space when I was going through that for a little bit, as well as the rehab, and with me and Jordan in particular going through everything.
And without giving too much away, of course, Arthur, you want them to read about your journey and read through your mindset mm-hmm. when you were going through those ups and downs throughout life. But, you know, you mentioned how what separates a guy to rare is how rugged and raw it is. And you give them a glimpse into maybe never before talked about avenues of what you were thinking during those tough times. Can you give us a bit of a preview as to that rawness and ruggedness? What makes it so raw and rugged? What type of experiences will people read about? Any particular, you know, part of the book that really stands out in that conversation?
Well, I think just the journey of the identity crisis as athletes, I think this is a huge topic that nobody discusses. You know, I accomplished everything I wanted in high school. All-American, had over 30 scholarship offers. Every goal that I set for myself, I crossed off the list. Then once I got diagnosed with cancer and everything was taken away from me, you know, I had to look in the mirror and figure out who Arthur Ray really was, because for so long I was this football player. I was this big 6'3", 300-pound menacing force on the football field, and I was going directly to the NFL and going to change everything for my family. And I believe that. I really believe that, you know, and it's a blessing that, you know, I sit here now in a couple months, and it's going to be 10 years that I'm a cancer survivor. And I think about I wanted to be a 10-year NFL vet, but now I'm a 10-year cancer survivor, and I think that sounds a little bit better to me.
Oh, but, for sure. I love that.
Going through it, I think that portion of it, you know, because a lot of times at Michigan State, I spent so much time trying to find myself again. I spent 2 years on crutches. And, you know, a lot of times most people think about college, that's the happiest times of their life. Me and Jordan were dealing with so much mental turmoil throughout those times, and I don't think the people around us even saw it because, you know, we good. We know how to throw on a smile and, you know, not really let people in. And I don't really think we're not whiners or criers or anything like that. It's just, I think that's something that all athletes face. You know, whether you hang up the game or the game gets taken away from you drastically and everything, just that identity crisis. Like, who are you really? Like at 17, when I got diagnosed, I didn't know Arthur Ray, the author, even existed. I didn't know Arthur Ray, the speaker, even existed. And now Arthur Ray, the coach and business owner, entrepreneur, I never knew who he was, you know?
Yeah.
I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm thinking about the goals. I'm thinking about everything that I wanted to accomplish. So I think that portion of it, especially for the athletes, I mean, and anybody who's ever thought of the mindset of an athlete, I think that's going to be huge for them, crucial, as well as the spirituality and other things that you'll get into.
Author, your story is certainly so inspirational, and again, you kind of went through it in a brief synopsis just then. But for those that don't know much about Jordan Benton, your co-author, what makes his story unique, like yourself, that made him really the perfect fit to co-author this piece of work?
Well, I think Jordan's story is perfect because I'm the scholarship athlete. I'm the guy. I'm coming from the success, and Jordan had to walk on. So he's coming from the back door. He had to sneak through the garage to get in. You know,
exactly.
They don't hear that perspective. They don't understand that. So I think a lot of times throughout, you know, Jordan's athletic career, he was misunderstood. You know, because a lot of times, you know, when you hear walk on, you hear, oh, okay, he wasn't good enough to earn a scholarship. That wasn't the case with Jordan. Jordan was a talented ball player. You know, he competed against top-notch players in practice and everything, and he went through his own thing. A lot of times, Jordan went through two ACL tears in high school. At 17, he tore his ACL. Then he walked on at Michigan State. He tore his ACL again. I was there for that when he was a freshman, just going through that. The mental space, the dark space that injuries take you, especially when you play sports for so long. And not only that, just with everything. We in college. We want to go out on Friday, Saturday. We want to enjoy. We want to be a part of the atmosphere and everything. I think people are really going to get introduced to Jordan's side, which I'm more than excited for, because I think he's a true dear friend of mine, and it's definitely about time people heard us.
Well, I tell you what, I'll be picking up a copy myself, and I'm looking forward to checking it out, author. And two quick questions before we end the show here, author. When people go through this book and set it down on the coffee table and kind of reminisce about the pages they just took in and read, what do you want them to take away? And also, what are you up to now, my brother, other than co-authoring the book? I know you're a coach and doing a lot of great things.
Okay. Well, to answer the first one, as far as the book, we created the book. The book is not that long. We want you to continue to pick it up, because life struggles change daily. It's a daily mental battle, daily internal battle within yourself anyways. You know, a lot of people, you know, that they got a second voice. We call it, that's the self-doubt voice. That's the voice that tells you you know, even when you're excited about something, it gives you that, oh, it may not work out. Oh, it may not, you know, may go wrong. It may do this. You know, within the book, we give you the tools to quiet that voice, you know, to regain that power. You know, everything nowadays is external, so external. You know, you're feeling sad, you have a bad day, you take a picture, post a selfie on Instagram, get 100 likes, now you have
it. Right, know? That's true, yeah, yeah.
You know, so, everything that we sort of challenge all of that, because it's like, what is that for? What does that really do to you internally? Because externally, it can make you feel better for a second, but what's going to give you that everlasting joy and be able to accept you as who you are and be able to utilize that power, that energy, that spirit that we all have. Everybody, it can shine in their own way. And I think, you know, we're so distracted. Everybody's so distracted. So I think once they put the book down, pick it up, then put the book down and pick it up again. That's what we wrote it for. That's what we want people to get into it. That's why we didn't make it as lengthy as we could have.
Right, right.
We wanted to make it short and sweet, and we wanted something that you just carry around. You traveling, you keep throw it in your book, your backpack, throw it in your briefcase. If you're a working man, you know, you can take it to work. You got a little break, pop a chapter open, go directly to a chapter. You can read it in any order you can. You know, I'm so excited. I'm so jacked up for the book right now. I think you can tell, but I want everybody else to know. I'm so excited right now.
So, author, how can folks out there get it briefly?
Oh, they can get it. They can get it on Amazon.com. They can visit it. The title is Guide to Rare, and the authors is Arthur A. Jr. and Jordan Benn. And they can also visit RarityLifestyle.com to check out our clothing line as well as blog. We've got a lot of things going on. And to answer your second question, Chicago's good. I'm enjoying myself. You know, after I came home from Miami, after being down there with the Dolphins and a little bit and everything, I came home. I spent a little bit of time at home with my parents, so I got my feet underneath me. But I started a lineman academy.
Right.
I train offensive linemen. You know, it's a small business of mine. I train offensive linemen in the Chicago area. I wanted to create something for my big dogs, you know. That
right.
When I was in
right.
school, you know, there's always things for the skill guys, the 7-on-7s and everything.
Oh,
like
for
that.
Sure. Nothing. And, Arthur, I don't mean to cut you off, but we got 10 seconds. And I tell you what, I want to ask you, would you be willing to come on sometime later this week to elaborate on some things?
We'll
do that.
We can. I appreciate you for having me, my man. Definitely.
My man, Arthur Ray. We'll see you tomorrow.